It's Ken Bergen here, and welcome to the Hospo Reset podcast. Each episode, I explore trends, innovation, and smart thinking in the hospitality industry with a particular focus on restaurants, cafes, and food service. You'll find the show notes and links for today's episode on your podcast app and look for the link at the top of the hosporeset.com website. Don't forget to subscribe to the weekly Hospo Reset newsletter and connect with me on LinkedIn and on Twitter. Hi, Ken Bergen here from the Hospo Reset podcast. Today I'm talking to Mark Coder from Your Social Chef about smarter promotions for Mother's and Father's Day. And it'll spin off into other big events during the year, like Valentine's Day is another example. And I think there's probably some opportunities we all have to invent or hitch a ride with other major events. But what I'm particularly interested in talking to Mark about is how do we think about more strategic approach to these events, because in some way they're a bit of a sugar hit. I mean, Mother's Day, it's just like how many months in advance are we booked out and how high can we push the fixed price menu? And but it's all over in one day. And oftentimes I think people aren't leveraging, you know, maybe a lot of new people that they met that day or gave people a really wonderful experience that they want to repeat regularly through the year. So yeah, we need to sort of think about this rather than just kind of like one-hit wonders on a few months of the year. And Mark's, you know, I know from his work with people planning and executing their marketing, he really takes a very strategic approach, and I'm keen to find out more. Hey, Mark, great to have you here today.
Ken, thanks so much for having me today, and I look forward to this presentation.
Yeah, terrific. Okay. So I've asked, you know, you to think us through, and we've got some slides that we're looking at together, which I know you're going to share, but think us through, yeah, a better way of spending our promotional dollar and getting more leverage out of these events. Now, you use these initials OKR. What does that actually stand for?
OKR stands for objectives for an O. KR is for key results. And it's a goal framework that I've, or a goal method that I've discovered a few years back that I believe has changed the way that we do things around here for our clients, for ourselves. It helped us to set goals and what did we want out of these goals. And it made it so much easier for clients to understand what do they actually want from doing something, instead of just saying, hey, let's do this. And then there is no, you know, a specific goal or a specific outcome. So this is what the OKR is for.
You know,
more in depth later.
Yeah, in a funny way, you kind of using strange language for a lot of restaurant cafe people, yeah. Like objectives, key results. You haven't used the P word planning yet, but you're probably going to use that. This is sort of in that sort of spontaneous, crazy, chaotic world of restaurant and cafe marketing. These people don't usually kind of sit down quietly and do this. So you better, let's look at what is the process that you walk in on, maybe with, you know, new clients, when you look at, you know, the kind of chaos that's around sometimes that you have to kind of calm everyone down. You had a diagram there with some of the kind of craziness that I think people kind of show. Yeah.
So we can go down to the diagram where...
You call it the culture of craziness, culture of chaos. I like the sound of it.
Yes. So the OKR came from getting away from the culture of chaos, you know, no planning, no goals, no key results, no objectives. So instead of doing what most people or most agencies do, which is pretty much culture of chaos, is having an organized approach and for planning and goals and objectives, and that's what we call the OKR goal system. Mm-hmm. And this is a visual of how the OKR looks like.
Okay.
So you can see it starts with an objective, then you put a key results. Several key results that you want to achieve in order to achieve the main objective. And then each key result, it should have several actions to actually help you achieve each key result under that tree.
Because it's interesting, you've got like three key results you want, whereas for most people, I think they just want like more cash at the end of the day, don't they? Like, I want more sales. by the time we finish Mother's Day.
Yes, that could be your main objective. For example, increase profit by XYZ on Mother's Day. And then that could be your main objective. And then at the bottom, you could go and say, all right, what needs to happen for us to achieve that objective? So you put several key results in there that would help you get closer to this outcome, to the main objective. And then each key result, obviously, you got to go and do some activities to achieve that each key result. And that's what we call them actions. Which we'll also go into more in depth later in the
Okay. Well, let's start with Mother's Day, because I sometimes joke, you know, I try and subscribe to lots of email newsletters from restaurants and cafes, and most of the time I never hear from them. But if I do hear from them, sometimes it's Valentine's Day and Mother's Day and maybe Christmas, three times a year, which I think is a little bit lazy. But let's talk about Mother's Day. What's the objective?
If we think about Mother's Day, instead of just thinking about, hey, let's increase our profits, or let's maximize on that day, or look at how many covers we did last year versus this year, I mean, the way that we think and we should be thinking is from the customer perspective. What's the pain point for the customer this Mother's Day? What kind of pain points people go through to book Mother's Day, experience Mother's Day at restaurants? And I believe from what we've heard, what we've seen, even from personal experiences, is people want to book Mother's Day, but also wants to enjoy their Mother's Day. They don't want to rock up to a restaurant where everybody's running all over the place. There's shortage on food. There's shortage on staff, like just specifically now, those days. And not only that, staff have no idea what the menu is all about. They don't know how to recommend any drinks. They don't know how to take an order, how to make sure a table is enjoying themselves on that night. So as you can see in this objective, we have two of them. One is delight customers. The second one is increase profits.
Right.
There are two objectives for Mother's Day. And let's go deeper into that.
Okay. So, yeah, let's talk delight customers, because we don't, I mean, mum, you know, she's the number one person to be delighted, but me is the one, maybe, you know, I'm the son or, you know, the husband or something like that. I actually want to be pretty happy with the day too, not just feel like I've spent a lot of money on doing my duty.
Yeah, well, think about it that way. If the family isn't happy, the mum isn't happy anyway.
Yeah, she picks up on that, of course.
Yeah. She will read the room, and if everybody isn't happy on the table, she's not happy. What's the point of that event anyway?
She'll say, thank you, darling. It was really lovely. But she knows that it wasn't good enough.
No, you know. So how do we delight customers? I know, look, some restaurants already doing some of that. Some restaurants not even touching that altogether. But we're going to go through this anyway. So your objective is to delight customers on Mother's Day. What needs to happen? So that's, we look at key results. We have four of them. One is impress the guests. Two is serve good food. Third one is provide remarkable service. And the fourth one, give them a gift to take home. And that's optionable. But now we said, what are those four key results? But we're actually going to go through each one of them and what activities we need to do to achieve those key results in order to achieve the main objective, which is delight customers. Okay. So we go down to key result one. How do we impress our guests? I mean, the first thing that you want to do, and there are obviously four key results that we're going to go through to achieve the main objective, but one of them is impressing our guests. At least you could maybe do beautifying the bathroom, do a spring clean, beautify the decor, do make customers see that you went some sort of an effort to welcome them.
I like the fact that too, you're using this word beauty and beautiful and beautify. It's not a word. It is definitely something that we want to associate with mum having a good time, isn't it? And it's not something sometimes, you know, with lots of hard surfaces and minimal decor, beauty is not something that is the first word we think about. But you're saying for this event, we need to really ramp that up.
Yes, well, you don't want to walk into a restaurant that haven't been because a lot of people that haven't been out for a while, they do visit restaurants on Mother's Day.
Yes.
So if they're coming out on that day and they're visiting your restaurant, you want to give them the best experience ever. Because why we're delighting customers? not because we just want to delight them on that day. We want them to go away from that day and create a word of mouth, create retention, reduce loss of customers. You want a lot of things out of that as well. So, and that's one of them. Hey, we walked into that restaurant and it was super clean. The bathroom was, they've had this and that. Like, you don't have, in terms of how big or how many you want to go, that's up to you.
Yeah.
But doing something is better than doing nothing.
And, you know, when we beautify things, and you've got some nice photos, you know, of extra flowers and arrangements and things like that, everyone's snapping away on their phones too. We never know who's going to be doing it and whether mum is actually the one taking pictures, but a lot of people will be, especially if there's something really striking, you know, gorgeous flowers or even, you know, a remarkable bathroom. Those get photographed as well.
Yes. Yes. And if you wanted to even up-level that, I could have used another word. It requires a whole presentation by itself. And instead of using beautify, I could and would use Disneyfy.
Oh, okay. I like that. Wow. How interesting, because a few episodes back, I actually did a podcast interview with Michelle Pascoe. We talked because she goes to Disneyland and Disney Institute and all this kind of stuff. She sort of makes us studies the science of what Disney does. And here you're bringing it up again too. Yes. I mean, for you, what's Disneyfy mean?
Disneyfy means Disney is not for kids. Most people go there and you would notice adults are going there because they want to be the little kid that always wanted to visit.
Yeah, okay.
You know, adults don't really grow. They always have that, you know, the little boy and the little girl sitting inside of them that they want to enjoy life too.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, you
know,
okay.
It's not just about the kids all the time.
It yeah,
is about adults,
okay.
You know,
uh-huh.
And when you try to create a Disney experience, and who watches Disney movies and this goes to Disneyland, go have a look for yourself. You'll be very surprised.
Yeah, so, nice.
Yeah, so if you could try to create Disneyfying versus beautifying is making it like 4D instead of
next
3D.
Level. Yeah, yeah.
You know? Or 5D instead of 3D.
Yeah, well, 5D. I can't get my head around that.
Yes, you know. So, but again, that requires a whole presentation by
itself.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Now, you've got number two here is good food. And, of course, that's the price of entry, really, isn't it?
KR2, which is key result two, which is serve good food. Again, if people usually come to your restaurant, they like your food on regular days, but then they come on Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is a massive event. The quality of the food or the consistency of the food might drop because you're so busy.
I can only have the set menu and the couple of things that I really like aren't available, and I've got to kind of have all these things that maybe I don't want included in the set menu. I have to say I'm a little bit wary of set menus generally. Like banquet menus and things like that. Feel like I'm not getting the best, I'm getting it. The food's okay, but I feel like I'm not getting the best value.
Cool, which is a very valid question. Mm. So I would only recommend for someone to run a set menu when you know that you're always booked out, super booked out on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Then you would introduce a set menu because you know you're going to be booked out anyway.
Yes.
And even if it reduced the numbers of a waiting list or people that trying to book after you've been booked out, then a set menu is worth running because it'll make it easier for the kitchen.
Sure, yeah.
But if you think that a set menu isn't viable because you usually have hard time to get booked out, then what you should do is maybe introduce a smaller menu and say, and then use the language a la carte menu available, but it will be like, and which they can order from, but
right.
It won't be as big or as detailed.
Yeah,
as,
and maybe there's a minimum minimum per person as well on that day.
Minimum spend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could use those strategies.
Yeah.
As long the end result, the food is as good as every single time you use
on regular days. Good reminder. Yeah.
So we spoke about impressing customers. We spoke about serving good food. The next one, which is key result three, provide remarkable service. And again, so that has nothing to do with providing good food. Good food is one thing. Providing a service is a whole another thing altogether, which means you don't want a table sitting there for 2 hours waiting for food. You don't want when someone asks a staff member that about what cocktail, what wine do they recommend with this meal, or what sides do they recommend with this meal. You want them to be able to have that conversation with the customer One, you end up selling more food. Two, you provide, obviously, a better experience for the customer, and you know that you've done your part in terms of getting closer to achieve your delighting customers on that night.
Yeah. Okay?
And you want your service to be the same during Mother's Day and
outside of Mother's Day. Yeah. And again, there's sort of an unspoken fear sometimes that it's going to be kind of delayed and there's going to be a long wait. And I mean, maybe as industry people, we go in and we kind of pick up the vibe. But everyone, there's nothing worse than it's an hour between my starter and my main course. You know, that's not the plan.
Well, one thing that we recommend to also do about providing a remarkable service is to role play the night beforehand. Role play it, suggest some obstacles on that night, role play those obstacles and discuss how could you overcome those obstacles. Because if you do that, you're already setting expectations for the staff, for the chefs, for front of house, back of house, for yourself. And then what you'll see, you guys will perform better on the night.
Yeah. And even, I mean, given that the turnover of staff, there's probably maybe half to two thirds of your people weren't there last year in Mother's Day, but we want to keep notes about, you know, any bottlenecks or any efficiencies or, you know, what we'll do next time so we don't have to kind of repeat mistakes.
Correct. And look, we understand. We know what's going on in the market today. We know about the staff shortages. We know that some staff not even interested to do any of that stuff. But having that conversation, even if it's a light conversation, it's always better than not having it at all.
Yes. Yeah. So you say number four about giving a gift and, you know, the flower for Valentine's Day or the flower for mother or something like that it's nice, but it's a little bit corny maybe. What other gifts have you seen that are effective?
You could give them, flower sparkling on arrival. Usually that's what most people do on that day. But
yeah,
what we were trying to nudge here is reminding restaurant owners about they're in the hospitality business.
Yes.
And you want to provide hospitality. And gifting or providing a gift is what restaurants used to do in the old days.
Yeah.
So if you could, for example, maybe design a gift box with a gift card in it, to give away, like, again, thinking about how do we Disneyfy that experience instead of just providing a flower sparkling.
Yeah. You know? And these little gift boxes from the, you know, the $2 shops you can get, or it's quite, you know, interesting ones and with a pretty ribbon around it or something. And also you're reminding me that, you know, when we think of the cycle of service, people arrive, high expectations, and maybe there's a glass of sparkling, which is lovely, and then whatever. But it's almost like from main course, it's kind of a steady downward slide, isn't it? And then we finally leave and hopefully they say goodbye, but oftentimes they've too busy. But if there was a farewell gift,
yes,
we have a chance to kind of stop that downward slide and we kind of kick things up a little bit too with a sort of a closing positive.
Yes. And remember that the reason why we're delighting customers, which is the main objective, and this is one key result out of the four, it's because you want people to go away and talk about the business, talk about the restaurant, create conversations, word of mouth on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's going to do that? It's going to improve your retention rate. Most people will come back, but it'll also bring back new customers that they want to come to
the restaurant. Yes. Yeah.
And what's going to happen there? Most restaurant owners don't look at the lifetime value of the customer. So it's not just about that $100 on that night. It's about how much, what is the lifetime value of that customer?
Well, this is where your marketing hat is, you know, like firmly on, really thinking about that too, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, most of them think, well, I'm not going to spend $10 or $20 and people will might spend $70 or $80 a head. Why? I'll be at a loss. Use that as a marketing campaign to create a wonderful experience on that day, because a lot of people visit restaurants on that they don't really visit restaurants on any other day. So you want to create that experience to create massive word of mouth ripple around your business. And that's why you're doing that.
That's a pretty solid work through of our first objective, and there's more that you kind of want us to achieve as well.
As you can see, we spoke about an objective, we spoke about key results, and we spoke about tasks that needs to happen to achieve that key result.
Mm-hmm.
So then, now that we spoke about delight your customers, we go to objective two, which is increase profits this Mother's Day by 20%. It could be 30%. Really comes down to your concept. Mm-hmm. And the capacity that you believe you have room for could be 10%, could be 60%. It really comes down to where you are located, your demographics, your concept, okay? But this is just an example, increase profit this Mother's Day by 20%. Mm-hmm. That's an objective too for Mother's Day. Now, it comes with three KRs, which is increase cover value by 25%, increase database by 200 contacts, book 800 covers. And we're going to go over what do we need to do to achieve those key results. Do you have any questions here, Ken?
The first one about increasing the cover value, that's really just about, you know, put the package price up or put the menu prices up usually, isn't it? But sometimes, you know, if there's options around, it's not just that, it's about having your staff who are, selling additions if there's, you know, like to do with wine or celebration drinks or extras or something like that. So this is the chance to, have some real kind of sale. I mean, one, menu pricing, people are sensitive about that, but, you know, inflation is going up. It's, you'll know your local area, what you can do, whether it's, you know, $80 a head or 95 or 55 or something like that. The other one you said was, you know, increase our database. Again, this is your kind of expertise about adding more people. What do you recommend for putting more people on our list? Because they're the ones we can keep marketing to in the future.
Yes. So one of the things that you'd want to do on Mother's Day or any other events is think about how can you create future money for the business.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead of thinking about today and today's cover or today's sales, we got to think about how can we create future money for this business. And by the way, delight customers is one way to create future money.
Yes. Okay?
So always remember that. increasing profit is another way, but the key results here, one of them is like increase your database. So if you haven't connected your booking system, ordering systems, any database system that you have to your email marketing system, you need to start thinking about that. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that at all, you're not taking online bookings and you just want to take, you usually take phone calls and emails, you do want to convert to online bookings. Because when you start getting those online bookings, you can, whatever system that you're using, you can connect it with whatever database marketing system.
Right. Would you recommend having, thinking about the booking, let's say it is, family of four or family of six or something, but one person booked. So I've grabbed their details, but there's maybe at least one, maybe a couple more people who I haven't got. Would you recommend a competition or anything like that? How can I get those other people in the room who aren't on my booking information?
Easy. So what you do is you could create a Mother's Day giveaway. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about those giveaways that they do on social media, like, share, and comment.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a Mother's Day giveaway with a landing page where people need to enter their details for a chance to enter that giveaway.
Uh-huh.
And what happens when they enter their details, these details go straight to your database. And
so maybe there's a QR code on the menu which will take people straight to where they can sign up to get, and everyone can win. There might be is there a prize today if I enter, or is it just enough to?
You can. If you're only asking for a name, email, and a phone number, that should be simple enough to get a lot of people entering their details. If you're going to mail them something, then ask for their address. However, speaking of that, you mentioned a QR code on the menu, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But you can also promote that giveaway through your social media, stories, posts, ads. You could do some ads around that. You could do a website on the website, on pop-up or a top bar on the website.
Okay. So this is not just the people having lunch that day or...
No. Well, because you're marketing leading up to Mother's Day, you could try to do that.
Right. Okay. Okay. So really it's kind of like the Mother's Day festival you're talking about, and in the month before or something like that, we're kind of hanging other promote. Obviously, we want to fill the room on the day. Yes. But we're spinning off all that kind of enthusiasm to do database building as well.
Yes. And as you can see, you don't want to do things last minute. If you're promoting for Mother's Day or any other campaign, you'd want to know what's going on and what exactly going to happen at least 3 months before that
campaign. Okay. All right. Okay. So that's interesting. 3 months, right. Now you're really putting the pressure on us. But, yes. You know, if we want big results, we got to take, you know, big action. We really...
Yeah. Well, for some clients, we even know what's going on in Christmas, right?
Okay.
Now.
And we're recording this in March.
And we're recording this in March. So,
yeah. Okay.
The earlier you plan and the earlier you put things on paper, the more likely to achieve your objectives.
Yeah.
And you're not
stressed yeah.
out on uh-huh. the day, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's interesting that, you know, this database building is not just about the people in the room. It's lots of other people as well. Yeah.
Yes, and creating future money for your
yeah.
business.
Yeah, okay.
Why is it called the future money? Because you can go back, communicate with those people with upcoming events, with occasions, with a new menu updates, with anything that you're doing, you know? And that's
yeah.
it's very important.
So, Mark, the number three... key result you're saying is we want to book 800 covers, and obviously we want to book our early sitting, our brunch sitting, as well as our lunch sitting and our afternoon sitting, and however 800 covers is going to be achieved from our 200 seat restaurant or 100 seat restaurant.
Yeah. So,
but you said here, and we've got a list which we're emailing, and you're saying start 3 months early, etc. We got our online booking, so we're all set up. But you're also suggesting we distribute up to 10, using up to 10 different channels. And I'm really interested to get your, you know, your experience advice there about what channels to prioritize.
Yes. So when it says key result number three, book 800 covers, that comes down to the capacity of your restaurant and how many sessions yep. that you do. Okay. But this is like more for, as an example, you mm-hmm. want to, let's say you want to book 800 covers.
Yeah.
It says there, you want to start marketing 5-6 weeks in advance. Remember how we said, get ready 3 months before?
Yes.
Because you want to start marketing 5-6 weeks.
Right. We got everything ready and we press the button.
Yes. Press the button 5-6 weeks.
Yeah.
In advance.
Got it.
Not start planning 5-6 weeks in advance. So that's one. The other one is distribute to 10 channels. 10 channels is a very small number, by the way. 10 channels for a local business, you can easily do a lot more than...
Okay, so traditionally, well, the first thing I think, okay, I got email, I use Facebook and I use Instagram, and that's three, and I run out. But you're saying 10. You better tell me more.
Let's talk. All right. So, obviously, Facebook is one, Instagram is two, Google is three. Google, like you can do your Google posts.
Yes.
You can do your Google ads.
Okay. So posts on my Google listing, of course.
Yeah,
I can do that.
Four.
It's like a blog almost, isn't it?
Yes. And that gets picked up by Google search engine, right?
Yes.
And Google ads, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, these are different from posts.
Yes.
Different people see them. So that's already, you have at least five in there. Then you got to do internal marketing, like physical at your physical location.
Yes.
Could be at the door, could be on the menus. You want to do it on the web, on your website, landing pages, pop-ups, top bar on the website.
Yeah. With the bill, when I go to pay, there's a little slip of paper in there.
Yes. There's there is email. There's influencers.
Tell me about influencers. I'm kind of, you know, with your experience, I'm sure you know how to manage them. I kind of hear negative things about influencers. How do we do it well?
Well, negative things about influencers. Well, you just got to think about, you got to have a different mindset. One is you need to look at that influencer. And if you like what they're talking about and that you like their content and it resonates with you, you should definitely get them on board, because not only other people are looking at their blog or their Instagram account, mm-hmm. but also other influencers. So if this influencer talks about your business or talks about your Mother's Day campaign and other influencers see it, they might visit that restaurant just because they want to talk about
it. Okay. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you've tapped into other influences.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, right. And look, I think that's probably another discussion about, you know, the kind of the fine tuning of social media and using influencers. But I'm impressed that if you recommend it, there's definitely ways to do it well.
There's always a way to use something. You just gotta sit, put your beliefs on the side, and then let's think in a way that, all right, how can I make this work for me? I have these beliefs and it's preventing me from using this.
Yeah,
channel,
yeah.
This media.
Good reminder. You know, yeah. There's a saying, a retail expert I really like. He says, you are not your customer. And, you know, the fact that I don't like something, like the fact that a retailer doesn't like a certain product doesn't mean you shouldn't sell it, because exactly. There might be lots of people who do like that. And you're saying, yeah, I realize I'm just going to have a little bit of a thing about influencers. And it's got nothing to do with my personal feelings
yes.
here.
Yes. And then we haven't even mentioned TikTok Reels and TikTok influencers and TV and radio and cinema ads and YouTube.
You mentioned cinema ads, and I have to confess, when I first, my first cafe, the first thing I did, maybe cinema was a bit kind of a bigger, well, it was different. There was in Glebe in Sydney, there was a local cinema, and I paid for cinema ads. I really didn't know what I was doing, but I felt I had to do something. Do you still recommend that? What makes them good?
Well, if you're a local restaurant and you have a local cinema, it makes so much sense for you to invest in that ad spend, because one, you're tapping into a premium spot, because cinema considered a premium spot in advertising. People will trust your business more or your restaurant more on that special day.
Yeah.
And it'll also have a higher conversion rate because you're local, you're targeting locals, and you're not really wasting money.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I think maybe I'm reacting to the fact that a lot of the cinema ads, when I do see them for cafes and restaurants, they're pretty corny. And don't do corny ads. Do good ads. Don't do bad
good ads.
Ones.
And do good ads. And the other thing that the mindset. So restaurant owners will want people to see the ad book, like right sitting right there, book. Yeah, this is not going to happen. People see the ads, and then once leading up to Mother's Day, when the time is to book, and depends, some people book last minute, some people book time in advance, they got to converse with their family, converse with their partners, converse with whoever, then go and make that booking or place that order.
Yeah.
You got to give time for that, you know?
Yeah. Now, let's jump into Father's Day. It's the one that's sometimes a bit, I don't know if neglected, but certainly it's not as kind of big a festival on the restaurant calendar as Mother's Day, but there's plenty of money to make there. How do I distinguish it for, you know, starting off? What is a different way? Because I don't think beautify is the first word that comes to mind with Dad, but what should I be thinking about?
I think the most important thing to realize about Father's Day, it's because just think about culture. So for Mother's Day, you can tell from your POS system and from culture, without me having to look at your POS system.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is always gets that massive attention campaign around.
Yeah. Kind of sells itself.
Yes, where Father's Day is not as glamorous as Mother's Day, okay?
Yes.
So what do you want to do here? You want to create that glam. You want to create that excitement, and you, that's when you actually need to sit and and put Disney on steroids when it gets to Mother's Day.
Okay, so into that excite and excitement are the words you seem to be kind of highlighting here.
Yeah, well, Mother's Day we spoke about delight.
Yes.
Father's Day we're talking about excite.
Delight versus excite. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yes, well, you still want to delight customers on Father's Day, obviously.
Yeah.
But because we have already spoken about delight, now let's speak about how do we excite customers.
Yes,
so they're
tell
motivated
me.
Enough to come.
First of all, who's the decision maker, do you think, for most Father's Day bookings? Who decides we need to do this?
Everybody in the family.
Okay.
It's not the dad. So think about the dad. He's working. He's got bills to pay. Mm-hmm. He's got his favorite shows. He's got his favorite mates. He might be a family man. But usually men don't really think about dining out on their own special events as much as women think.
Or
they would think for other people. Like,
yes.
I would think about about that for my wife, but I wouldn't think it for my birthday or for my Father's Day, you know?
Uh-huh.
So what happens usually, and you'll see on Instagram and Facebook, a complimentary beer on arrival. And if the mum's seeing that or the wife's seeing that, the kids seeing that, that's not going to convert those guys.
That's not very exciting.
You know, not very exciting anyway.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. So obviously we have this objective. How do we excite customers? As an objective, and let's look at the key results. Two, we have key result one is excite customers. Key result two, book 800 couples covers.
Right.
What do we do? So there was this idea about collaborating with a celebrity chef or with a popular chef or with a popular influencer. Okay. What you could do instead of doing that on a night that has nothing to do with a special occasion. Why don't you do it on a night like Father's Day?
Okay. Yeah.
So
interesting. Yeah.
One, you get to charge premium. Two, you get booked out on Father's Day.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And three, you get to sell a set menu because people want to book for that special night because you're collaborating with a popular chef.
Right. Would a sporting kind of celebrity be appropriate for something like that too?
Well, that comes down to the concept of the restaurant.
Yes. That's maybe more a pub thing.
Yeah. But also how ultra is the celebrity itself. If you're talking about ultra celebrity, like a TV.
You don't want a rough head. You want someone who's got a bit of style and a bit of who's a bit sleek.
Yeah, it's like a TV grade celebrity.
Right. Okay. Good.
Yes,
good reminder.
And you put them in your restaurant because you're friends with them, or somehow you got contact with them.
Yeah.
Then that's gonna create a massive response.
Now you've got a picture here of this chef takeover of a restaurant. Is that what it was? With a 10-course degustation menu. Tell us about how that was designed and the results.
So we recently did this Ben Berthe Bird's Nest takeover.
Bird's Nest is the restaurant, is it?
Yes, in Brisbane. And we charged, from memory, I think it was $95 per person.
Mm-hmm.
We booked out we booked out that night within 10 days, even though we had 4 weeks to push it at that time. And people absolutely came, and it was a delightful experience, and it was highly successful. So can you imagine if you did that on Father's Day?
Interesting. Yeah, I like the idea because you're actually saying, look, Dad, you know, we're not just giving you kind of like more beer and more red meat or something like that. We're actually, you're kind of worthy of something really special.
Yeah, and not just for the dad, for everybody that's, come visiting on that night, they're all going to have an amazing experience.
Yeah.
So don't just make it just about dads. Make it about everybody that's going to sit on the table.
Yeah, nice.
So another thing is, if you don't know a celebrity chef, an actor, an influencer out of your reach, think about how can you trigger nostalgia? How can maybe you introduce...
Ah, nice. Okay.
You bring back old items
Okay.
That you still think it's still trending and relevant today, and try to reintroduce that.
I just had a thought. Some kind of car, you know, like car from the 80s or 90s, or a sports car or motorbikes or something might be out the front, all polished up. Because I'm not really a car nut, but I do love sort of seeing old cars that people are passionate about.
It could be part of the overall experience.
While you
actually bring in something on the menu that could be connected somehow.
Okay, some food, nostalgia food, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Food nostalgia, drinks nostalgia.
Yeah, okay.
Or you introduce a new product or a new drinks, anything that you believe it will create that massive excitement or that viral reaction around that topic.
Does Dad get a present on when he leaves?
If you want to.
What would be, because I'm conscious, you know, again, like I said before, I want to have that kind of spike in the experience at the end.
So let's say you wanted to do this, a special drink in a special glass that you had to purchase specifically for that night.
Why don't
you give it away with it?
They can take the glass with them.
Yeah, right. Because also they can, you know, they either you get it washed for them and give it to them, or they could display it at home as somewhere as a decoration.
Not just
a regular glass. It could like, you know, one of those custom glass cocktails.
Given that we're planning 3 to 6 months in advance, we've got time to have something branded, and it's actually remarkably, in the scheme of things, you know, say for a $90 menu, $3 or $4 for this special glass is, you know, nothing
and,
really.
And imagine that, yeah? Every weekend when people are over.
Yes.
Or where did you get that from? Dinners, yeah. Or do you get that from? Or I got this from here. Imagine 200 people are talking about that every single weekend. Every single week. Imagine the reaction.
And you can actually do kind of funky cocktails or kind of combo drinks in mugs, even if you wanted to do a branded mug or something. But glass is probably better. But
usually restaurants, when they think about, and I've seen a lot of them, like when Halloween kicks in, you find them, they do really cool things for Halloween. But Father's Day kicks in, they don't know what to do.
It's very plain.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I think this
combo of celeb or nostalgia, I really think there's lots of opportunities there.
And use the creative mindset when you use that for Halloween, because I see a lot of restaurants do get creative on Halloween, but they don't do that for Father's Day. But it's the same process.
Yeah.
The outcome is different because you got a theme it for Father's Day, but the process, the creative process is the same.
Yeah. So we've also got this aim to, you know, make lots of bookings. Is there something different the way we would do this with the Father's Day market, we still got to get
those 800 covers, right?
Yeah.
But if you're not achieving excite your customers or excite your guests, it isn't going to happen in KR2, which is key results too, which is getting your 800 covers. It isn't going to happen. So especially on Father's Day, unless you're usually booked out, that's a different story. But if you struggle and you fail in exciting your customers on that day, towards that day, you're not going to get your 800 covers. Even if you turn on 20 channels.
Now you got your recommendation of go for 10 channels. Is there a different weighting for Father's Day? You know, more priority with some channels rather than others.
I guess for Father's Day, if you can start earlier, the better.
Okay.
Okay. So if people find out you're doing this really cool thing with a really cool theme, this really cool person, that chef or a menu that you're doing on that day, they're more likely to book at your place instead of someone else.
Right. So start dropping hints and dropping ideas.
Yes. Earlier than you would do Mother's Day.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Given that it needs more work to get those 800 seats.
And that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Work on quarter by quarter.
Yeah.
So plan a quarter ahead, launch 5 to 6 weeks in advance and then get yourself booked out on that day.
Yeah, nice. So, Mark, you've given us a remarkable amount. I just like the idea you just kind of make us just kind of slow down a little bit and just think through what are we trying to do and then putting all the elements together. Because when you got that combination, it's really, you know, it's pretty awesome result, I'm sure, and something that, you know, will have everyone sitting around the table impressed by different things, I'm sure. Now, just tell us about your background. You know, you're concentrating mainly on social media, but, I mean, restaurants, cafe, food service marketing is your key thing. What led you to it, and, you know, why the passion for this particular kind of work?
Thanks for the question. Look, if I go back to my old days in business, people or customers, when I used to have my own businesses, customers used to say to me, you should coach people how to run their business. You should coach people how to market their business.
Yes.
And they used to say that to me all the time. And I got sold on the idea, because not only because of what other people have said to me, but also I believe I'm really good at it as well.
Yeah.
So, and to elaborate on that, I'm not talking about wife, cousin, father-in-law. No, I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about actual customers.
Yes.
That they're paying me money.
Who actually got results.
And yes. And they're saying, hey, Mark, you should be doing that for real and get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? If this, and usually strangers, you ask strangers that they have an interaction with you for a while, hey, what if you can get that from them and they're the ones that are saying that to you, you've got a confirmation what yes. you're really good at.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So from there, at that time, social media was surfaced on, and it was the media that was getting results for people, or started to get results for people. Mm-hmm. And I saw that back mm-hmm. in 2010.
Okay.
Then I got into it, and then we repositioned into the restaurant industry, and we got deeper and deeper. And we don't just do social media, we do digital as a complete package. Okay.
Right.
We're not really interested in social or digital. I'm really interested in getting results and in interested in the media that gets results.
Yeah.
So
right.
So if we sleep tonight and we wake up tomorrow and then all of a sudden we discover radio is like the most exciting thing today, and that's what's driving business.
Yeah.
I'm in the radio business.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what media.
Yes.
Is.
Yeah. Applying the same kind of thinking processes as we've talked about, you know, generating or delighting or exciting, and, you know, drawing
on. Yeah. Because TV, media, or Google, Facebook, TikTok, these are just media platforms. These are not strategies.
Right.
These are not. These are just tactics, yeah?
Yeah.
You still need to have...
We got to have the fundamentals right. Yeah, yes, yeah, yes, absolutely. Yes, yes. Yeah, well, this has been such a stimulating conversation. And how do people make contact with you? And
head over to yoursocialchef.com.
Uh-huh.
And then you can get in touch with us there.
Terrific. I know your website. You got a lot of interesting information on there as well for people to browse through. Yeah.
Of course. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for joining me. I hope you're feeling inspired after listening to this episode. You'll find the show notes and links for today's episode on your podcast app, and look for the link at the top of the hosporeset.com website. Don't forget to subscribe to the weekly Hospo Reset newsletter and connect with Ken Bergen on LinkedIn and on Twitter.